Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your call. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and I'm excited to announce that today we have with us Melinda Guyal, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. Welcome,
hi,
Melinda.
Michael.
Melinda, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Great.
Great. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
You fade in and out, but right now I can hear you.
Okay, great. I will speak up. And if you have trouble hearing me, just let me know.
I'll speak up.
Okay, great. Good. So I'm excited today. We have a lot to talk about, and the phone lines are open here.
Hmm?
And I thought we could start with a couple of upcoming events.
Oh, very good. There's some very exciting things coming up.
Yes, yes. Do you want to jump in and start?
Sure. Well, one thing, I hope everybody is catching the blog from Africa, which is, I never would have thought it could get better, but it definitely is even more exciting than ever.
Yes.
And there's a new one coming in every day.
Yes.
And as soon as everybody's back from Africa, Sherry will start a new email class.
Yes.
Which will go on for the month of August. And that's it's all very exciting.
Yes.
And then we've got our incredible sixth annual bridge walk to support the Africa project.
Yes. Yes. It's great. And I noticed today that all three of those are right on the homepage there, the Living Compassion homepage.
Ah, very good. Yeah, you can just go in and click on blog, and it'll take you to all of the days that are available to read, and it's definitely worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Can I add a couple more details about those three that you mentioned?
Please.
So the bridge walk this year is going to be on Saturday, September 8th, which is coming up, and I hate to promise warm weather, but seems like a good possibility.
Yes.
Yes. And the email class is beginning August 1st, so it's about 2 weeks away. People can still sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to follow the 30-day retreat that's in the back of Sherry's new book.
Yes. Yeah, so it'll be a really wonderful, supportive class for working with the retreat that's in the book.
Yes. Yes, that'll be wonderful. And I'm having a similar experience with you on the blog. It's funny, you know, when I start my day and I have plans for things to do on the computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have my little task list, and I get on the computer, and I remember the blog,
yes.
and then my task list just goes out the window.
Yes.
Because it's an addiction, and I'd like to say it's a healthy addiction.
Of course.
To see the excitement and the work and the challenges and the willingness of everything that's going on in Zambia.
Yeah, and we're learning more and more about what it's like to live in Cantalamba compound.
Yes.
And it's kind of shocking.
Yes.
And also incredibly heartening because it really highlights what a difference Living Compassion is making.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's very heart-opening reading.
Yeah, that's my experience also.
Yeah.
As you're talking, a couple of specifics come to mind for me. One is the story about Everesto, who's the student in the compound who's done very well in these national science competitions, and we're glad to support him in that.
Yes.
Which is fun. And the other thing I was reading today in the most recent blog about the visit from the doctor.
Yes. Yeah.
And her conversations and meetings with the women who are working with Living Compassion there.
Yeah, and the women having for the first time in their lives a chance to talk about some of their pretty grave health issues.
Yes.
With someone who really has something to offer them.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I was really excited to see that possibility open up for them to get some answers and some help there.
Yeah, and reading the blog, my experience is that I really have a sense of my own participation, even though I'm not in Africa. And but I am, as are all the people listening, part of Living Compassion.
Yes.
And it's what we are doing on the other side of the world.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I have the same experience as well, that sense of participation. And when I talk to other people about the Africa Project, I talk about what we are doing.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's really great in that sense. And conditioning would have me believe that, you know, you've never been there and you don't know these people. But, you know, that's not helpful and it's not really relevant.
And it's not really true.
It's not really true.
I mean, the part about you've never been there, and yet the blog is taking us all there.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Melinda, let me give out the phone number again. We are live today. I'm here with Melinda Guyal, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. We'd love to talk with you today. The number is toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. Phone lines are open. And if you're further away than North America, and we've had a number of callers recently who are further away than North America, you can dial 001-858-268-3068, with that 001 being the country code for the U.S. Melinda, when we talked earlier today, you had a suggested topic, which was sickening dread.
Yes.
And it's so funny since you mentioned that, because a part of me has been having the experience of sickening dread ever since you mentioned it.
Aha! Power of suggestion, huh?
What's that?
The power of suggestion.
The power of suggestion, yes.
And Michael, were you looking at sickening dread in relation to something in particular that you'd like to talk about, or it's just that mentioning it sort of created the sensations that we tend to refer to as sickening dread?
Yeah, a couple things came up about it. I think one was, first was kind of that, as you said, those sensations of, oh my gosh, this is really scary, dangerous, horrible, whatever it is.
Yeah,
and
something awful is going to happen.
And another experience is that this summer I have a new child in my life.
Yes, a very young new child.
A very young new child to add to another new child.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a fair amount of not getting what I want when I want it.
Aha. Not getting what you want when you want it, because there are a couple of other very small people in line in front of you.
Yes. And I think that sickening dread is from conditioning, projecting onto me, you know, I'm going to show up for these people. I'm going to show up for my life.
Yeah.
And as I continue to do that, there's less and less room for conditioning.
Yes. Yeah. Because as you're showing up, despite the fact that you may not be getting what you want, somebody other than conditioning is probably the one showing up.
Yes.
And conditioning, that's not big in conditioning's book, because it kind of loses power.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it seems like someone very close to me is experiencing sickening dread, perhaps because I'm planning to continue to show up.
Yes. Yeah, that feeling of, oh no, I'm in dangerous territory, that wants to convince us it's time to turn around and go the other way.
Yes.
Really gets the rug pulled out from it when you keep walking in the direction that it's saying, no, don't go there.
Right.
Bad things will happen.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And it seems like the bad things that are supposed to happen is just that voice continuing to talk.
Yes. And yes. For conditioning, the bad thing that happens is that it really does lose influence over how you live your life.
Uh-huh.
If you go up against it.
Yes.
And that's the you is sort of a universal. All of us who reach that point where we're able to keep walking in the direction that our hearts tell us is the way we need to go, but all the body sensations and the voices in our heads may be saying, this is the worst thing you could possibly be doing. Are you crazy?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems like for me, with practice, there's a deepening experience or faith that it is safe to go in the direction of my heart.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That as you do that more and more, the experience you have is, it's telling me this is dangerous, but in fact, this is probably the best thing I could be doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we often have, you know, folks who are here for the month of May doing a deepening practice training.
Yes.
And a number of people mentioned how that feeling of sickening dread preceded their arrival at the monastery.
Uh-huh.
It was just, oh, no, you know, what have I got myself into?
Uh-huh.
And every single one of them discovered that, wow, I'm so glad I did it. This
wow.
was just really one of the most important things in my life.
Oh, wow.
And it feels like that's often, so we have that experience of sickening dread, and it's often a clue that we're heading in the right direction.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
True Zen yes. paradox.
Yes. Yes, yes, true Zen paradox. Yeah, and it seems like with practice, it becomes clearer which messages are coming from my heart and which messages are coming from conditioning.
Yeah, yeah, and what's the direction that is most compassionate to go.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exciting. Now, Melinda, I launched into the sickening dread discussion, so I didn't know if you had a direction to start from or...
I couldn't hear that, Michael.
I sort of launched into the sickening dread discussion, and I didn't know if you had other points to make around it or stuff to bring up or...
Well, I was hoping that maybe folks listening might have their own experience with sickening dread that they would be willing to call in and talk about.
Yes.
And I realize that may or may not happen.
Yes.
And perhaps to talk a little bit more about what we mean by that.
Uh-huh.
Which I look at, you know, it'll often come up when there's something that sort of underneath things I've been being encouraged to do, and we might say that it's my heart sort of pointing me in a direction.
Uh-huh.
That I realize I have been resisting.
Uh-huh.
And it might be something like doing a practice opportunity that's maybe a longer retreat. Maybe there is nothing wrong with your retreat, or maybe a month-long training, that I realize that sort of looking at, as I think about doing it, the feeling comes up that is, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
That somewhere inside I know that it's not a true fear of what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
It's a fear of the change that I will go through if I can go ahead and follow my heart.
Uh-huh.
A fear of that I'll become someone I don't know.
Uh-huh.
In a way.
Uh-huh.
Although at the same time I'll become the person I deeply know that I am.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Does that match with your experience, Michael?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So an underlying sense of perhaps this is something I want to do, perhaps go on a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, or a longer month-long retreat, and the fear is there. If we listen to the fear, the stories of the fear will be pulled in one direction.
Yes.
And if we listen to our heart, we can see that, wow, here's a possibility of opening up, seeing who I really am,
mm-hmm.
and seeing what possibilities are available to me.
Yeah, yeah. What my life might actually be
uh-huh.
without whatever chunk of conditioning
uh-huh.
is there. I think it also arises for many of us when we begin to take on any issues of addiction that we might have.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, I know this would be better for my body, and at the same time, there's actually a fear of going ahead and doing whatever it is that I know I would need to do to get free of the addiction.
Right, right, right. So it can come up around issues of addiction as well, where I can see that this is, whatever this addiction is not helpful to me on some level, and yet it's familiar to me, and it's who I am.
It's who I am.
And to go up against that is really challenging.
Yeah. I might discover that I'm not who my addiction tells me I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what occurs to me is another one, which is perhaps a less scary one, but not for some people, which is simply calling into the show.
Say that again, Michael?
Just calling into the show can be a sickening dread for some people as well.
Right. Is anybody out there experiencing this as we speak?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And to have the willingness to call in and say, yes, I'm practicing, and the voices are telling me this is going on, and I shouldn't call, and there's something wrong with me,
right.
and I want to do it anyway.
I don't have anything useful to say.
Right.
And then that's often, we notice, when, so I don't make the call, and then for the next hour, those same voices beat me up for not calling.
Right, right.
For not having courage, for not all the things it can think of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And given all that, let me give out the phone numbers again. Phone lines are open here, toll-free in North America, 866-613-1612. From further away, it's 001-858-268-3068.
And I just wanted to suggest, Michael, that folks, if they're not experiencing sickening dread, and it's not something that's in the forefront of their attention right now, and they would like to talk about their reactions to the Africa blog or pretty much anything else, it would be fine to call in.
Oh, yes. Yes. Absolutely. You know, as we learn from practice, it's not really the content, is it?
It doesn't seem to be the content.
No. It's participating. It's showing up, contributing, and for me, there's a great transformation that's possible in that really simple showing up, participating, and contributing.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going back to seeing you in line behind those little tiny people in your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
The showing up is what makes possible all of the other wonderful things that happen when we show up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes. And it's interesting to me because from conditioning's perspective, you know, showing up is not really not a big deal. It's not important. You know, what I have to do is some incredibly important work or the standards are so high.
Mm-hmm.
For what I have to do in order to make a contribution to life, it's ridiculous to even try.
Yeah, and it sets a very, very high standard that sort of discourage us from showing up.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If I have to be all that great, why show up when just showing up, as you're saying, is just really such a good thing to do for oneself.
Yes, yes. And speaking of showing up, I'm excited to announce that we have a caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jane from Australia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi there.
Hi, Dane. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Oh, this is weird.
Say that again.
This is weird.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Say more.
I just haven't called in before, and there's a delay, and it's confusing me.
I got it. Yeah. Well, I'm finding it quite amazing to be sitting here at the monastery in Murphy's, speaking to someone in Australia.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. So, what would you like to talk about?
Well, when you guys were talking, when you were talking about addiction a minute ago, and you said something about how you know what you have to do, and you know what you should do, and you know it would be better if you did, but you kind of can't quite do it.
Yes.
And I was wondering, where do you find the motivation or something to do this, this thing that you know will be better for you?
Mm.
So there's no reason why you shouldn't do it, but
yeah.
Why is it so hard?
There's no and do you have experience of what makes it hard?
I don't know. It's hard for me to get a handle on. I just kind of find myself, just tuning out and getting distracted and thinking, oh well, I'll do that later. And it's not like a big. It's not the sickening dread thing you were talking about. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
That would be kind of more straightforward to confront. But this is just kind of like, it just kind of slips my mind and.
Right.
I end up doing this thing that, I thought I wasn't going to do this anymore.
Yeah, yes. And I go sort of unconscious. Sometimes we call it conditioning blowing stupid dust on us. Because I was absolutely convinced that I wasn't going to do whatever it was again, and then I just went completely unconscious, and I wake up right in the middle of, whether it's the cigarette or the ice cream or the drink or whatever.
Yeah, or after. After you finish, then you're allowed to think again and go, oh, that's all right, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Right, and then the voices come in, usually, and make us absolutely miserable for being such bad, rotten people.
That's right.
Yeah. And what we look at a lot is a phrase that how we do anything is how we do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the process that you're seeing is a place where it's really helpful to practice, because you see that what happens is you make a commitment to yourself or, whatever form it takes for you, and then you discover somewhere after the fact that you didn't keep the commitment.
Yeah.
And that process is so... It's such a wonderful practice opportunity because we can just keep an eye on it. Sort of like go ahead and plan to do whatever it is that you've promised yourself you're not going to do.
Yeah.
Plan to do it and then just watch everything that happens along the way. How do I wind up in this place over and over and over again? And I think it's true for all of us. That the process is very much like this.
That's kind of frustrating for me to hear right now because I don't want to hear a process. I want an answer. Just one thing and I can do that and then it's going to be all right. I don't want to have to do this over and over and over a bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that over and over and over, if we approach it from the perspective of what can I learn while I'm doing this? About how I keep falling in this hole.
You mean I could find like a little answer?
Yeah.
A kind of intermediate answer rather than having to have the final solution right from the start.
Well, there is something magical that happens, at least in my experience, in paying really close attention as I walk towards the hole. Something magical happens when I just sit with the sensations of wanting a cigarette, for instance.
Mm.
And really
kind of uncomfortable there.
What
do you find it uncomfortable?
Hmm?
Do you find it uncomfortable?
Well, when I go to that place of exploring, it's not as uncomfortable as when I'm just trying white knuckling not to do whatever it is.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I sort of take it on as a project in well-being for myself. I'm going to see how I do this thing that I know isn't good for me.
Uh-huh.
Keep doing it. How does that happen? And just watch every, pay really, really, really close attention.
Okay, wow. It's, I can just hear so many, like, you know, voices in my head going, why that's such a terrible idea, why that's not going to work, or why I should be doing something completely different.
Yeah, well, and that's
interesting.
Why that, because then, I mean, why would anybody want to try with all of that negative coaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to just give up at the starting line. And
it sort of seems like it's...
That's part of the process.
That's part of the process.
Yes, that's part of the process. And it might, I would even encourage you to start writing down what you hear as you look at all this, because I bet those voices are there for you in other situations.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, don't even try.
They're very
I
constant.
I mean, there's no point. It's not going to work.
Uh-huh.
And I've got
that's
quotation
right.
marks around all those.
Pardon?
I put quotation marks around all those because that's what the voices say. That's not what
yeah.
I believe.
So you would say it's worth a try.
What do you think?
I don't know. I sort of seem to have so many kind of issues, and they all kind of play out the same way, but it sort of seems like, or I get pulled from one to the other. It's like, oh, I have to fix this one, and now I have to fix this one. And
Yeah, well, that might be a really good reason to just pick one for now. Maybe one that's not quite as big an issue as maybe some of the others.
Oh, they're all so important.
Yeah, okay. So how am I going to choose?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. Yeah. So conditioning finds lots of different ways to keep you off track, sort of.
Uh-huh.
Does it feel like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you just pick one. To hell with conditioning and just pick one.
And pay really close attention to conditioning. Because it's not going to give up just because you decide you're going to take on a project.
No, it's going to get worse.
Probably. That's where the sickening dread comes in.
Yeah, that's it. Now I'm feeling it.
Yeah. And you also, if you haven't done it already, you might consider seeing if you can get yourself over to the other side of the ocean and come to one of our There Is Nothing Wrong With Your retreats.
Yeah.
We have a whole tool bag that we offer folks during that retreat that works with exactly what you're talking about.
Maybe Sarah could do it as an email class sometime.
Oh, that would be interesting. And it's actually woven into all the email classes. So there are other ways to pick up the tools.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jane. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Zuber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and today I'm excited to announce that we have Melinda Guyall, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. She's with us for today's show. Melinda, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Okay, thank you, Michael.
Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Cher Zuber on World Talk Radio. Melinda, we have another caller.
All right. That's great.
I'd like to welcome William from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Cher Zuber.
Hello, Melinda.
Hey, William.
Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, same here.
I haven't actually been listening to the whole show, so I'm not exactly sure everything that you were talking about, but... I caught a little bit of, like, just before the last caller and then the last caller, I guess. And it was interesting that you were talking, you mentioned addiction, because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to talk tonight. I just kind of got this feeling like I wanted to go against conditioning and call in and kind of keep, keep me on my toes. But I guess, I don't know where, I don't know exactly what to talk about other than, I've definitely been having an experience of, that phrase, the going farther and faring worse. And, it's oddly, I've never kind of been in this kind of position before in my life. I mean, I've kind of felt pretty lousy at times. But I've somehow maybe not succeeded in sticking with it, like allowing myself to stay feeling so bad for so long. And this one, and which seems counter to everything I've gone by before. You know, it almost is like to try and get away from suffering or distract myself or fall back into some habitual pattern that sort of kind of blurs it for a while.
And that's what you're finding yourself doing now is kind of trying to get away from?
I realize I want to get away from, but it just seems like I'm not getting, I'm sticking. I think the one thing is I'm kind of staying in a place of discomfort, but it's discomfort because it's not, kind of like continuing to move towards the fear rather than try and run away from it.
Yeah, and it sounds like there may be fear, but it's not all-consuming because you're able to be somewhat, as we say, disidentified from it and to see that you're in a process. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think, and never having been in this type of experience before, it's... You know, it's hard to compare it to anything other than...
Which is probably good.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I realize it's so unfamiliar that from all of my previous sort of conditioned standards, there's nothing that, from that perspective, I can kind of call, like I can see positive from conditioning standards.
Yeah.
So right now, it's like I don't know where I am almost. I don't know what I'm feeling, if it's good or bad. You know, it's almost like it just is.
Yeah.
And with regard to what I've maybe consider, positive from conditioning standard or my, I'm not getting that. Like, I can't say I'm not feeling joyful. I'm not feeling, I have no sense of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Conditioning seems to use that against me as, you're clearly doing it wrong then, because you should be feeling better.
It's really interesting because it sounds like, if I'm hearing you right, it sounds like you're going along and things are really different from the way they've been, and there's no, because it's very different from anything you've experienced, there's no reference point. And conditioning is coming in and telling you that, well, you really, here's some reference points. You ought to be comparing to these, and you're not measuring up.
Exactly. I mean, I think you had mentioned, too, that idea of, if you go against it, then you don't know who you are then. And, that sense, I'm kind of going through that experience of, if I don't do it the way I've always habitually done it,
yes,
then who am I?
Yes.
And there is... that's unfamiliar, and then, on one level it's unfamiliar,
mm-hmm.
and then conditioning can then start to maybe call it things like, because it's unfamiliar, it's, on a smaller scale, it's uncomfortable or unpleasant, or it's, and then it starts to go into the, wrong. It starts to up the
level. Yeah, it's got a whole list of well, probably pretty much worn-out labels that it wants to put on your experience.
Yeah.
And yet when you're really there and being with what's going on for you, you realize you don't know. And in a way, you don't even know who you are.
Yep.
And conditioning is wanting to pull you back into being sort of that structure of habit patterns that it sounds like you're beginning to step out of.
Yeah. Well, I had done, after being at the monastery in May, and then I did the retreat in Pittsburgh with Sherry and Dave.
Which is so great to just do, you know, just keep doing practice.
Yeah, it was hard. Conditioning really got in the way of almost keeping me from going to Pittsburgh. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah.
There was some really good reason you shouldn't go, huh?
Yeah. And, well, one kind of image that kind of came up, or that Sherry kind of shared with me a little bit when I was talking about my experience right now, and she kind of talked about it almost in that kind of, you know, breaking an addiction pattern of, I'm sort of in detox, I'm you know, writhing around on the floor because it's just like, this is all new, it doesn't feel right, I don't know where I am, and the old patterns are trying to desperately get me to, you know, do it the way I've always done it.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it is so incredibly compelling because it's wired into our brains.
Yeah.
To be doing something other than those almost solid structures is really shaking up the foundations.
Yeah.
Which is such a wonderful thing to have happening, although it doesn't always feel, as you say, like joy or great happiness or...
Yeah, in fact, it honestly, it feels horrible.
It feels horrible?
Yeah, I've been really, this has been just, well, again, maybe that's conditioning coming in. I mean, I'm laughing, so there's some sense that I'm disidentified, but obviously, there's a part that can say this is kind of the hardest thing I've ever gone through.
Yes. Yeah, it's harder than giving up smoking, which is really, really hard.
Yeah. I mean, this
and
is all...
How are you doing it, William? Because what I'm hearing is that it's horrible, and that's not stopping you.
Well, again, part of the answer is I don't know. other than, I guess, I am doing some elements of the practice.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, you know, voices would come in and say, I'm not doing them right, I'm not doing them enough.
Well, of course, that's what they always say about everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I guess the one thing is, you know, it's hard to say. It's been, there's also that sense of the gradual transition of, you know, my path and how maybe my ability to stay with the discomfort is, you know, obviously greater now than it ever was, where in the past I would have, you know, had something kind of make me go unconscious to get away from the discomfort. But I think what I'm seeing now, and I think this is the concept of why it seems like going farther and faring worse, and like how, you know, I'm like, how can it keep getting worse? But it's sort of like, and this is a bit, this kind of hits me over the head at times, but it's almost kind of shocking to some extent how much I'm seeing conditioning has controlled my life, like how I'm seeing seeing it, I guess, and I'm also realizing that no matter where I go, like, you know, I one of the big things that's bringing it up, which is maybe a blessing in disguise, is mm-hmm. a real involvement with my family of origin, with a business project, which is really bringing all, I think, you know, all the conditioning and all the belief systems.
Yeah, Opportunity City.
Exactly. And I realize, you know, part of me wants to run away from it, but I realize I've just looked at my pattern over and over again, and I take my pattern with me. If I run away from my family, I recreate it. I'm recreating it everywhere else.
Yeah.
So running away from my family right now is not going to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm saying I know running away is not going to solve it. So I might as well I might as well stick through this and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I think that's why I'm sticking with it, is because I know, even though this is unfamiliar, the familiar way has never worked.
See, and what I'm hearing you say is that you're seeing so clearly how the old survival patterns don't work.
Yeah, yeah. And realizing just also how kind of unfamiliar and then attached to that is sort of frightening are the what seem to be the new steps of, you know, when I see that this almost seems to be what I need to do to be compassionate to myself, you know, potentially to my family, you know, things of like real kind of like, there's a lot of caretaking impulses I have with the family, a lot of rescuing, very messy kind of, you know, stuff that goes on in our family that is so habitual. And
uh-huh.
to not do it feels like it's going against the family system, which is, in, you know, quotes, bad.
Well, and it's,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But maybe going against it, I'm starting to see, is actually compassionate to me and to the family.
Yes. Isn't that huge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly hard to do.
And you really, I mean, that is such a, it's such a big place to be taking on conditioning, because it's not only your conditioning, but it's your family's conditioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I think that's...
We're all in our families of origin, caught in patterns, and when one of us wants to step back and not do it that way anymore, there's a huge pull, both from conditioning in ourselves and conditioning in those around us, to come on back and get things back to familiar.
Yeah. No, that's what I definitely realized recently, is I'm up against my own conditioning and their conditioning, because like I get, my conditioning gets, you know, a spike in, you know, all the activity level, it just goes crazy. And then I realize, so I have resistance. My conditioning is resisting me doing it differently. And I also realize I have a whole set of family members resisting it too. So there's not a lot of support there.
Right, right. There will be a lot of support for your coming back and getting to be the person we know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And both from, as you say, from your family's conditioning and from your own, just because that's the way conditioning works.
Yeah.
We've got these nice patterns, these nice settled habits. Don't upset the cart.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you've really... bitten off a big chunk of practice there.
Yeah, and yet it seems like the only choice is, I mean, there's a part of me that wants to go through it, because I know if I don't, it's just going to stay the same. I'm gonna retreat into the same kind of suffering I've always had.
Yeah, yeah, and that's that place that we talk of in practice as having suffered enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with this. It's really terrifying to keep going in a different direction, but I am so done with the suffering the way I've always done it.
Yeah. Well, it's, I still don't know how it's, you know, how much longer
no.
it's going to go, but it's, I guess I'm just on it, you know, I just don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, and it's a journey, you know. The opportunity for all of us is learning how to enjoy the next step.
Yeah.
And the next one, and then the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say that I've reached the point of what I would call an enjoyment yet. It's
mm-hmm.
been just more of perseverance right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you might want to just keep, you know, sort of a half an eye on who's doing the assessing. What part
yeah.
of you is deciding this is discomfort?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I remember in actually maybe a guidance appointment with you or even some of the other monks just pointing out that the assessor in me is a very powerful, whoever it is very powerful.
Yeah, I think we can all say that, and it really... when we start keeping an eye on that, so I start questioning, okay, now how do I know this is discomfort? We really get to see ourselves on a new level.
Yeah. Right? I mean, that's interesting.
Taking its word for it that, oh, yeah, this is discomfort. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and also just, I guess, the language that I mean, like, a few things for me that have helped are, and I'm actually feeling like I've gotten a little bit better understanding in the last few weeks of this, but this sense of, you know, looking at a sensation and maybe just trying to keep it as a sensation and separate it from all the stories and beliefs that are attached to it.
That's huge. That's really
and,
huge. Yeah,
because
there's a sensation, and usually right away there's a whole drama that goes with the sensation.
Yeah.
You're stopping at that point and realizing, okay, there's a sensation. Okay, there's usually drama. And again, that's that place of just paying really close attention and learning a lot.
Yeah. Like right now, for example, in this period of time, and this is actually a therapist that I worked with is kind of, it was very useful for him to point out, too. He's like, you know, when I'm in this thing, my adrenaline kicks in. So it's basically, it's adrenaline going through your body.
Yeah.
And when I was able to think of, you know, because I got the nervous stomach, I'm feeling anxiety, you know, all these kind of things that I then label it.
Yeah.
And when he says, you know, think of it as adrenaline, you know, your body's preparing, you know, because it's unfamiliar territory, but it's just adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
And when I think of it that way, it was a little bit easier to not necessarily fall into the, you know, the drama story of, you know, catastrophe, horror, you know, this is horrible.
Yeah.
It's more like,
yeah, stay a little bit disidentified, as we might say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still doesn't feel, you know, I don't say I'm loving the experience, but at least I'm not going off the deep end.
Right. And you're really paying attention. I really hear that.
Yeah, I guess I hope. Thanks for reflecting that, because sometimes I forget to give myself.
Yeah, well, we know who comes in there and tries to convince you that you're doing bad practice.
Yeah. Well, I've talked quite a while here, so I don't want to eat up all the time. I appreciate you spending the time with me.
Well, I'm glad you checked in, William. Thank you.
Thank you, and again, good to hear your voice, and my best to everybody at the monastery.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, William. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We have a special guest with us today, Melinda Guyal, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. We're nearing the end of our show, Melinda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was listening to your conversation with William, a couple things came up for me. One is the willingness and the courage that I was projecting onto him.
Yes. Yeah, to just keep walking in the direction, and I think this is true of everybody.
Yes.
That just to keep moving one foot in front of the other in the direction that we're being told is a bad way to go.
Uh-huh, yep. Yep. And the other thing, as William was pointing at, was that assessor. Who
say
was
that again?
The assessor.
The assessor, yes.
Who is always there, pointing out how I'm doing.
Yep.
What's working? What's not? Mostly, what's not working?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Guaranteed. What's not working?
Guaranteed. What's not working? And
there's
how I'm not doing
wrong,
it right?
Or, yeah, conditioning doesn't have anything to do.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You still there, Michael?
I'm still here.
Okay. Every now and then you fade a lot, and I wasn't sure if you just faded out of hearing range.
Right. I'll try to keep speaking up here. Melinda, did you have any final thoughts you'd like to share today?
Gosh. Well, I've just really enjoyed the conversations.
Yes.
And, again, it would be to encourage once again for folks to tune in any way they can. It's wonderful when folks come and call into the radio show or even just tune in.
Yes.
And read the blogs and sign up for the email class and whatever way it's possible for each person to participate. It's got a ripple effect.
Yes, it does.
I think in the conversations when we've been having this evening that they ripple out in ways that we can't imagine.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And we get to have the experience as well, which is such a good deal.
Yes. Yes, that's my experience as well. Melinda, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Michael.
Great. And we'll do it again.
All right.
Okay. Good night, Melinda.
Good night. Bye-bye.